we're dealing, and we may probably all the year deal with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not me, it's not you, but it's God that makes the difference in people's lives. God may use us. God does use us. It please God through the foolishness of preaching to save them but believe. But God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not nearly that consistent. He's always present. He's always with you if you know Him. He meets your every need. His ear is open to your prayer. His eyes upon you. He'll meet your every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God that you know the Lord. If you know the Lord, say amen. You have a God. This God is our God, and He will be our God forever and forever. The God who made all things. We started off with the God of Adam. He's the creator God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And He made everything that was made out of things that you cannot see. And with nothing but His wisdom and His power, He created everything that you see now. But also, the Bible says now it all consists by Him. He keeps everything together. You know, everything's made up of atoms, and there's a nucleus and a neutron and all that business. And inside that little bitty atom that you can't see, there's movement. It's always moving. It's always going, kind of like our earth and rotation and all of those things, revolving and then rotating and all those things that we're a part of. And were it not for the hand of God, boy, we just fly apart. We just disintegrate. But God holds all this together, and I thank God for that. But listen, God is a God of creation. He's the creator God. He's a God with who you cannot hide sin from. We learned that from Adam and some others. But I dealt last week with Enoch, and I want to come back to Enoch today. And then we're going to be dealing with Noah in a few Sundays, and I'll probably have 3 or 4 messages about him. And our Sunday night revival continues tonight. We're going to have a special guest evangelist. Brother Tim's going to be preaching tonight, and I know that you'll be blessed tonight in Sunday night revival at 6:30, so you come back for that. But you have your Bibles open to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Before I read that, will you turn over now, hold that place, but turn to the New Testament, because I want you to look at this when I read it in a few minutes, in Hebrews chapter 11. Would you find, you've got Genesis 5, now find Hebrews 11, and let me read this to you. Notice, first of all, we go back to Genesis chapter 5, and I want to begin reading. Now, this morning, for the sake of time, I want us just to look at a briefer passage than we did last week. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Methuselah is the oldest man who ever lived. And his name means after me the deluge, or after me the judgment. When he died, I believe the day he died, God opened the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven and destroyed everything, humans and animal life on this planet. Everything in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He's a God of judgment. But now notice what it says here about Enoch in verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. After that, he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He's one of the two men in the Old Testament that went to heaven without dying. He went to heaven. Notice over in the New Testament now, I want to call your attention in the book of Hebrews to chapter number 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, just one verse, chapter 11, look at verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before this, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I said one verse, but let me read the first beginning of the next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And he walked by faith, and faith pleases God. I want to preach to you on the God of Enoch, walking with God this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would touch me and fill me in these few moments. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bring to my mind things you want me to say, remove far from me things that I shouldn't say, and I pray, God, for your anointing to make effective what you say through me this morning. God, I pray we learn to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand the principle of walking and the power of walking and the fellowship of walking. And God, I pray that you'd help now speak to your people. And Lord, for those who are in the building, those who may be in the internet audience who are not saved, I pray, God, that they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Enoch walked with God. I wanted to come back and deal with this thought this morning. Let me say to you in the first place that when we begin to talk about Christian life, you get born again by the grace of God. We have a lot of babies born around here, and every time a baby comes in the building, everybody gets all excited. We're excited about that birth. At home, there are a lot of things that go on. There are different processes, and people ask questions, say, you know, how old's the baby, and is the baby crawling yet? And then that wonderful moment, that first step, when the baby takes the first step, is a wonderful blessing. Now, if you had a baby and it never took a step, then you'd understand something was not right. And if you get saved by the grace of God, it is a Christian walk. The new birth is just the beginning. When you get saved, you start walking. And everybody in this building walks the same way. We may wobble a little bit. Some people wobble when they walk. You may stagger a little bit. You may walk a little faster than somebody else. But everybody in this building walks one step at a time. That's how you go places. It has to do with the idea of growth and walking. And Christian life is a walk. When you get born again by the grace of God, His blood cleanses from all sin. But from then on, you begin the process of growth. The word walk in the Hebrew has in it this sense: it is movement in a forward direction. It is a progression. It is moving. You're growing. And that's what it's all about. Dr. J. Vernon McGee used to say that the Christian life is not a balloon ride. It is a walk. It is a walk. Let me say this to you about, first of all, by way of introduction, the walk of Enoch was in the first place, it was a directed walk. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, a man's ways are not his own. They are directed by the Lord. His walk was a directed. If you get saved by the grace of God, you quit going your way and you go God's way. The Bible said that when the Lord gave the parable about the prodigal son, that he went off into a far country and he wasted his substance there in riotous living. He walked into sin. He walked that way. My dear friend, when you get saved, it is a directed walk. You're walking with him. He'll direct your steps, and your Christian growth will be one step at a time. God directs his steps. And I'm going to tell you, what a blessing to know that you're walking in the will and the way of the Lord. But it was not only a directed walk, it was a dedicated walk. It was a dedicated walk. Several years ago, I heard Dr. Harold Seitler, from down in Greenville. And he was preaching and he's talking about the Christian life and being born again by the grace of God. And at that time, there's a lot of emphasis put on people making a profession of faith. And if you didn't lead 200 people to the Lord today and 200 to the Lord tomorrow, then you weren't right with God. You're supposed to be leading people to the Lord all the time. We are to be witnessing all the time. We are a witness and we are a blessing. But there were a lot of people who were pushing for people to make professions of faith, that is to pray a prayer. And it's not necessarily the prayer, but it's the proof of that prayer. And Dr. Seitler made a statement I will never forget. He was in a meeting somewhere and he was preaching, and about 15 people came forward to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and make profession of faith. And boy, there's so much excitement. Everybody was rejoicing, praising God. And Dr. Seitler was off to the side, and it seemed as if he was humbly praying and not really getting involved and all excited like everybody else. And somebody slipped up to him and said, Dr. Seitler, why are you not rejoicing? He said, I'll rejoice a year from now if they're still walking with the Lord. Because you can say words and it won't mean a thing to you. But if you touch heaven, if you really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin then a walk of progression. You're going to start growing in the Lord. And so it was a dedicated walk. He had made up his mind. The Bible says of our of folk in the Bible says that Daniel, for instance, that he determined, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And if you're going to walk for the Lord, it has to be a dedicated walk. That means you want to follow him. And if you're saved, he put a desire in your heart to walk with him. Not only was it a dedicated walk, but my dear friend, it was a deliberate walk. He did it on purpose. He did it on purpose. You walk with the Lord. If you're sitting on the couch, if you get up, you do it with intent. You get up to go somewhere. Now, you may be like me. You may get up, walk to the kitchen, and stand there a few minutes and look around and say, why in the world did I come in here? What did I come in here for? But it is a dedicated walk. It is an idea that is determined. I'm going to get up and go. And everybody in this building who knows the Lord can walk with Jesus. What a blessing. What a blessing. I remember years ago, and I guess it was a compliment. I wasn't worthy of it, but when we were back at home in our home church and I was serving as assistant pastor, we had a group of young adults that really loved the Lord. And I remember somebody saying to me one day, Brother Billy, if you could just stay with me all day long, I think I'd stay encouraged. I think I'd keep on going with the Lord. And I was real spiritual, you know, and I said, well, if you just trust the Lord, walk with him, it'd be that. I understand what they were saying. They didn't mean this, but the truth of the matter is, I can't go everywhere with you. And it wouldn't benefit you very much if I did. But Jesus can go everywhere you go. And he directs every step you take, and you purpose in your heart, I want to do the Lord's will. It's not just on Sunday. It is every day of the week. It is a continual walk. His walk was dedicated, but his walk, this walk, the Christian life, is a delightful walk. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you run across somebody in this church, anybody at church, and they're always complaining about things, I can tell you one thing about them. They're not walking with the Lord. Because the Christian life is a life of joy and peace and happiness. But you got to walk with him. The devil will tell you if you're a Christian, you can't have any fun. If the devil will tell you that if you're a Christian, you won't ever have any joy. That's a lie out of hell. The happiest people in the world are Christians who are walking with the Lord, who are in constant communion with him and walking every day with the Lord. And what a blessing it is to be able to do that and walk with him. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, in Psalms number 37, it said this, that the Lord directs our path. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And then the next phrase, and he delights in his way. The Lord directs our steps, and we delight in the Lord's way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The most miserable person in any community, in any church, is not a lost man. They're dead in trespass and sin. But for a person who knows the Lord and they're not walking in harmony with him one step at a time, if they don't spend the day with him, the evenings with him, and get up in the morning walking with him, And if they walk their own way and if they disobey him, they lose their joy. They lose their peace. But what a joy to walk with the Lord. And Daniel walked with the Lord. Now, what about this walk? Where are you going? Where are you going? Brother Barry asked that question this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, the day you get saved, you're born again by the grace of God. You have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away in heaven. If you get saved, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. But you're living now. And what are you doing now? Where are you going now? If you're walking, the word walk I mentioned a while ago, and particularly in the Hebrew, means this. It means to progress forward. you're growing in faith. Paul prayed for a certain group of people, and he said, I travail once again for you in prayer till Christ be formed in you. If you're a Christian, you're going to be growing in the Lord. You're walking with Him. And that first baby step is just the beginning. They'll get to where they can hold your finger and walk, and then they'll get to where they might can walk a little bit and touch something and stabilize themselves and keep on going. But after a while, they'll be hard to keep up with, because they really start going. And as a Christian, when you get saved by the grace of God, you take baby steps. You say, Brother Bill, that's a big old Bible. I don't understand all that. I'll tell you, I've been preaching a long time, studying. There are a lot of things in there that I don't know, but what God showed me has blessed me so far, and it keeps on blessing me. And the fact that He keeps on giving us stuff every day and feeding us every day is part of the Christian life. We're growing the Lord. I told somebody earlier, they were talking about the Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Barry, and I said, I'm going to tell you something. If you just come and sit in that class, if you'll sit here, you're going to grow, because you're going to be fed the Word of God, and you grow in the Word of God. But now, think about this. How do you grow? I'm going to give it to you real quick. Here's the Christian walk. If you're going forward, where are you going? What are you doing? How are you growing? Number one, you will grow in grace. Grow in grace. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to be growing in grace. That means God's going to be teaching you and sharing with you truths. One evidence that you're growing in grace is that not only do you grow in other ways, but one of the aspects of growing in grace is that you begin to develop a greater hatred for sin. My father-in-law, Kit Vivert, was a wonderful Christian man, a great influence in my life. He used to be a real heavy smoker. He told me one time, he said, I can't remember if I was 12 or 13, but he said, I started smoking, worked in tobacco all his life, tobacco farmers, but he said, I started smoking when I was like 12. Smoked all these years. And then he got to have a lot of heart issues. And in all those, they had to do some tests. They come to find out, of all things, he was allergic to tobacco. All these years, he'd been, destroying his body with the cigarettes. And also, but he was allergic to it. He developed all kind of other problems. And he quit it. Well, in less than a year, his lungs had cleared. He just felt so much better. And he told me one time, he said, two or three things. One, he said, I can't believe that it stinks that bad. He said, I can smell a smoker a mile away. And he said, I can't believe that I smelt like that, and my clothes smelt like that, and I thought nobody knew. But he said, I notice it now. But he said, now just the thought of it, and when I smell it, it almost makes me sick. Well, when you get saved by the grace of God, you've been living according to the prince of the power of the air. You've been walking according to the course of this world, and you engaged in sin, and it didn't bother you one bit. Sin around you didn't bother you that much. But when you get saved, the more you walk with the Lord, the closer you get to Him, the more you're going to hate sin. You'll hate it because of the offense to God. Sin is an offense to God. It is disobedience of God. And He's your Savior and Lord, and loved you. And I don't want to see it in anybody else, but more especially in me. I trample on the foot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ if I, as a believer, commit sin and live in sin. And the closer you get to Him, the more you hate the thought of sin. You'll have a thought to go through your mind sometime that you can't help. Satan hits you with a fiery dart. But where you used to entertain those thoughts, now you shudder. You have a sick feeling in your stomach, and you say, oh, God, please take that away. Please take it away. I've known people who had a habit of using profanity all of their life, and it was just a matter of their speech. And when they got saved, sometime after they'd been saved, sometime they'd slip up and say something. And they came to me one time, a guy came to me, and he said, Brother Bill, I don't know if I'm saved or not. He said, I've trusted Christ, and He's blessed me and everything. But I at work the other day, I got upset, and I used profanity. And I said, I'll ask you a question. How'd you feel? He said, man, I felt like a low-down, dirty dog. I can't believe I said that. I said, that's a good thing. I said, because the closer you get to Him, the more you're going to hate sin, the more you're going to hate it. The Bible talks about those who do ungodly things, but here's the other side of the issue. But there are some who have pleasure in those that commit those things. We sit around and watch television, people doing things that we wouldn't do. And it's called entertainment. It's called amusement. Means no, and muse means think, no thinking. And so a lot of things you see and hear, the closer you get to the Lord, it's going to be repulsive to you. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to commit it. You don't want to think it. And if you're walking with the Lord, your hatred for sin is going to get more and more. That doesn't mean you hate sinners. Jesus was a friend of sinners. But we hate sin, and we hate it more and more in ourselves, more than anybody else. If you're walking with Him, you would develop a more humble self-thought. The closer you get to Him, there's a phrase that everybody uses now, a little catchphrase, how you doing today? Better than I deserve. But for a Christian who loves the Lord, walks with Him every day, that's a real reality. I marvel, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, listen, Paul said, I am chiefest of sinners. He hated sin, but everybody else uplifted Paul, of those who knew him well. But he said, I'm chiefest of sinners. I'm the least of all the apostles. And he wasn't just putting out words. He felt that way. And I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you're humbled by the grace of God and what He's done for you. The more you get walk with the Lord, you grow in grace and hatred of sin. You grow in grace of a humbler spirit toward yourself. But you do this, you grow in grace, and you develop a great awareness of your total dependency on Him. You trust Him as your Savior, and that's a wonderful thing. But the further you go down the road, the more you understand this, without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I would have nothing. Everything I have, everything you have, came from God, the Father of lights. Everything we've ever experienced, every healing we've ever had, every touch, and without Him, we can't even walk without holding His hand. And the closer you walk with Him, the more you learn you've got to depend on Him. But then the closer you walk with Him and the more you walk with Him, the more you learn that you can depend on Him. I was preaching in a revival some time ago, a couple years ago now, and I always try to get off just a few minutes before I go out into the auditorium to worship. I want to greet people and sing and preach as the Lord will help me. And I had a message on my mind, and when I got back there, the Lord changed it and told me, I want you to do this. And I for a brief moment, I said, Lord, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can remember that. Don't know this, that, or the other. I don't know. It don't seem like it would fit to me for the service tonight. And He said just this to me, and I'm going to tell you, it's like it was yesterday, and it was so real, I could have looked around to see if He's in the room. And He said this, trust me, son. And I went out, and God the Holy Ghost blessed that night. And when it was all over, I saw God all over that service. And I'm going to tell you, that's lived in my heart. Trust me, son. And the closer you get to Him, the more you walk with Him, the more you learn to depend on Him, and the more you learn that you can trust Him. He's going to do right, and it's going to be right. Whatever He leads you to do, He's going to do that. But you also grow in a capacity to love Him more and to rejoice in Him more. It's real. You don't have to have things. You don't have to have tangible blessings, but you learn to fellowship with Him. Let me hasten, and I'll just close in just a second. But not only do you grow in grace, but you grow in the knowledge of Him. The more you hang around Him, the more you learn about Him. Paul said that I might know Him, not know about Him, not facts, but to know Him. And the closer you stay with Him, the more you'll learn from Him. You'll learn about His holiness. You'll learn how holy He is. You'll learn how perfect He is. You'll learn how wonderful He is. You'll learn about His wisdom. You'll learn about His power. You'll learn about His love. You'll learn about Him. You'll learn that you can trust Him. He's real. He's right there with you all the time. And if you'll walk with Him, not only do you grow in knowledge, but my dear friend, as you grow closer to Him, you become more like Him. Not that we'll ever be perfect in this life, but as you walk with Him, He does something real in your heart. He gives you a deep, settled peace, a total dependency upon Him, and you'll begin to see God doing things in your heart and life. You'll be a testimony of the Lord's grace and mercy. My dear friend, God's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly if we just walk with Him. Just trust Him and be by His side. Oh, what a wonderful thing. The Bible said, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, don't have any needs. Don't have any needs. I know He's going to take care of me. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Only time a sheep lay down is when he has his running full, filled to the overflowing. And he said, if I walk with Him, He'll fill me to overflowing. But here's the clincher. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The God of Enoch is the God that will walk with you, and you can walk with Him, my dear friend. And when it comes down to the door of death, He'll carry you right on out of here. The Bible says that God translated him. And that word means to pick up and to carry. To carry. I thought about the Lord coming and people going to be with the Lord. And I told you one time what God spoke to my heart about, I'll come receive you. That means He to embrace and pull to the breast. But when I was studying this and God speaking to my heart about this, I began to think about our children when they were little. And as they, of course, they got to where they could walk, and we go do things with them. We go to amusement park or whatever, the zoo. And I mean, when you get there, they're jumping. They can't hardly wait to get out of the car. And they'll go, and you've got to hold on to them. They're running, they're jumping, they want to go here, want to go there, go there. But later on in the day, as the sun begins to set, and they've been there all day long, invariably, most of the time, some of the younger ones, they'd walked all day long, and they'd come up to me or Regina and say, I'm tired. Can you tote me? Can you carry me? My friend, this walk is a wonderful walk, but every one of us is going to come down to the end of the journey one of these days. And in our heart comes a point in time when we say, Lord, I don't know if I can take another step or not. But He'll say to us, I'll pick you up and carry you the rest of the way. And they were walking one day, Enoch and the Lord. Somebody said they came to a point and the Lord said, it's closer to my house than it is yours. And so He took him on home. But I'm not sure but what they came to a point in time, one time in Enoch's life, when he just had got tired. And the Lord knew his heart. And He just picked him up and carried him home. You have loved ones who are going to be with the Lord. You say, well, they died. And tragic thing, I hear people whose loved ones died, and they said they were by themselves when they died. Never, ever in all of history has there been a Christian who ever died by himself. The Lord's with him. And what really happened to your mom and your daddy, or your daughter, or your son, is it came to a point in time when the Lord translated them. He picked them up and carried them over. And it was a unique situation. He was alive and vibrant, and God took him home. But He does that for every believer. He'll pick us up and carry him home. I closed last Sunday by telling you the story about Miss Avery Rogers, Miss Ollie Rogers. And we were at the grave, or at the viewing of Brother Avery Rogers, our preacher friend. And Ms. Rogers said, I don't need a thing in the world but a closer walk with the Lord. That's what I'm praying for all of us this year, 2025, is that we'll have a closer walk with the Lord, to spend time with Him, to talk with Him, to share our burdens, to let Him minister to our heart, to feed on His Word, to pray. Doesn't say we skip with the Lord, We were somewhere one time. There was some kids there. Might have been our kids. And I said something about skipping. They said, "What is skipping? Kids don't even know what skipping is." And so I skipped. They thought that was the funniest thing in the world. It, Papa skipped. Not skipping. Not running. Not sprinting. But walking with the Lord. A day-by-day walk. Let Him minister to your heart. The more you walk, the more you'll love Him. The more you walk, the more you'll depend on Him. The more you walk, the more you'll be like Him. The more you walk, the more you'll know of His power, His love, and His presence. And this for sure, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. No fear. If you walk with Him, you have nothing to fear. Let's bow our heads together. We're going to go. Brother Lon's going to come, and I ask him if he'd sing a song for us. Will you stand, please, with everyone standing in the auditorium? As you're standing, I want to ask you a question. How many of you in this building are saved? You know, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? That's a wonderful sight. Wonderful sight. Thank you. You may put your hands down. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but let me ask you a question. Are you walking close to Him? Some of the disciples followed Him, but they followed Him a way off. Way off, the Bible said. Are you walking with Him? Oh, listen, it's a delightful walk. On that road to Emmaus, that song Joe Barry sings, those men said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as He opened the Scriptures to us?" It is a delightful walk to walk with Him. I want to challenge you to read the Word of God, pray, seek His face. Let Him order your steps. Understand this, 24/7, He's with you. And every step you take, let it be directed by Him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct thy path. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that your people, Lord, in 2025 would walk closer to you than ever before. Help them be keenly aware of your divine presence. Help them to talk with you as they walk with you. Help them, our Father, develop a relationship of unbroken intercession and prayer, to pray without ceasing. Help them to feed on the Word of God and know that you'll accompany them in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and that you'll teach them and feed them with something from the Bible that they need for that day or days to come. God, I pray that as we walk in the presence of the Lord, we'll be like those early disciples when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I pray, God, it will be so evident that we've walked with you that, God, people will want to know the reason of a hope that's in us. Make our witness effective. Help us to win souls for Christ. But God, I pray that we'd walk with you. Just a closer walk with you is what we need. Now, friends, while we're praying this morning, I want to encourage you that if you're here and you're saved and you say, "Brother Bill, I've not been walking as close as I ought to, or I want to walk closer to Him," I invite you always to come get around this old-fashioned altar. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, He loved you and He died for you and He wants to save you. But I want you to develop, as a believer, a walk with God. And to begin that, you have to take a first step. The first step is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You take that first step of faith and believe on Him, receive Him. You can do it here this morning, in this building, in the internet, or wherever you may hear this message. Right where you are, He'll save you right now if you call on Him.